Good morning, Chelveston, Calder Garden, Chelston Rise. It's Tuesday the 28th of April, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Now, as usual, the corrections and comments came in from the moment I broadcast yesterday. Pete Rawlins reckons I'd put Tess Daly's age at 61 instead of 51, saying she was born in 1959. Well, Pete, I've re-listened. I blame it on poor diction on my part. I definitely got the dates right, in my head at least. My dear wife was one of the people in the list of birthdays, and I wouldn't have got that wrong. At least I hope I wouldn't. Then Tina Hackett contacted me. I'd wrongly attributed the research about the church to David Hackett. It was Tina that sent me the message on Sunday. Oops, yet again. So Tina also gave me more information on the skeletons under the church tower. Strangely, they were found resting on the bedrock beneath the church tower, and couldn't have been buried far below the surface at all. Goodness knows how long they've been buried there, but she assured me that they were all photographed and left in place, undisturbed for eternity. She also let me know more information about Canon Roger Davison, the vicar who smashed up the heating pipes. He really did believe that he owned the church, and he did exactly what he wanted. Now, vicars normally apply for permission to change their church, and they duly wait for the diocese to grant what's called a faculty. In fact, installing the new path and the internet connection last year required a huge amount of red tape. You simply wouldn't believe it. Getting that faculty was a hard job. However, back in the 1970s, no one seemed to worry. It was Michael Folger who pointed out to Roger Davison that some of the old pews were rotten. Roger was onto it immediately. He and Michael ripped them out, and they built a bonfire in the churchyard and burnt the lot. This at least has left a wonderful space at the back of the church for all the activities we now take for granted. But how many of you knew how many rules had been broken to create that space? Roger was also frustrated at the many footstones in the church. In the 19th century, many burials had both headstones and footstones at the top and the bottom of the grave. These certainly made the churchyard maintenance hard. Roger decided to remove most of the footstones and position them right behind the headstones. To be honest, there were even a few headstones that he moved to improve the look of the churchyard overall. Daring indeed. But the archdeacons rarely came to visit the village, so who would know? Now, when Melvin Wooding was looking after the churchyard in the 1970s and 1980s, he would occasionally come across a bone that one of the animals had brought to the surface. Melvin would stop work and call up Roger for instructions as to what to do. Roger would come out and investigate, and more often than not, he would then look for the nearest brick. He would say a few words of prayer and then bang the bone back into the ground. Roger's view was that our church should be a living church, not a dying one. Now, I'm sure that some would question Roger's approach, but both he and Eric Buchanan, his successor, kept the church hanging on in there, allowing their successors to revive the valuable institution that it's now become once more. Now, I'm in the churchyard every day, and I meet so many characters from around the district. Some are relatives of those buried there, and others have heard how lovely and peaceful our churchyard is. It just never ceases to amaze me just how many people come to St. John's. I love talking to them all, at a distance, of course. Yesterday, however, I met a complete stranger. I've been trying to trace him for 2 years. I call him the Phantom Grasscutter. I've been looking after the churchyard for 2 years, and I follow a strict cutting regime at this time of year. I keep the grass at a medium length, but I don't dare cut the snowdrop or daffodil stalks. Christine Folger, bless her, left strict instructions as to what to do, and I wouldn't dare cross her, especially as Sue Wager is now in charge. For the last 2 years, someone has been coming into the churchyard one day after every one of my cuts, and has then scalped everything in sight around the Commonwealth War Grave. They've even cut down the snowdrops and the daffodils. But so far this year, no one has turned up. And I've been delighted. Until today. I was cutting the Caldecott Road verge and I spotted a van going into the churchyard. And so I was able to go down and chat with the person responsible. It was one of those awkward moments. This old boy, who was actually in his late 80s, makes it his mission to look after the graves of our fallen soldiers. And in our churchyard, we have the grave of Flight Sergeant Auld, a Canadian airman so far from home. And believe me, we do look after his grave. But this old chap had seen the daffodils and the snowdrops on his grave, living out their final days and looking bedraggled. He assumed that no one cared. He therefore decided to break the isolation rules to come out and cut around the grave. He felt he owed it to the fallen. Now, part of me was cross that he'd taken an unnecessary journey. But another part of me was impressed that this man could care so much as to take this risk. We had a long chat, at a distance, of course, and I explained to him that we are very proud of Flight Sergeant Auld and that the maintenance of our churchyard is something that the parish takes very seriously. I convinced him that breaking isolation is just not necessary in Chelveston cum Caldicot. Now, we're entering into our sixth week of lockdown, and some people are being tempted to go to the park or to the beach or even to have a barbecue. But here was a man whose first priority was to break the law to tend to the grave of a war hero. Now, we've all heard of Captain Tom and his fundraising, but it's clear to me that his generation is built of stern stuff and of loyalties that transcend our current challenges. Just how many of us can measure up to this? How many of us are prepared to give what it takes to make sure that we beat this virus? Thank you.